Hey there, radio fans. This is Carl Castaneda, and this is Voices of the Vision. I'm here, as always, with Robert Hubbs. Hubbs, go ahead and say hi.
Yo. How's it going?
We're
going
to be talking about a few things today. First on the list is the Nintendo Dream interview. This is a Japanese magazine. They had this interview with Shigeru Miyamoto this week, where they basically asked him to, you know, talk about the Wii and what Nintendo's got planned for this next generation. And he mentioned a few interesting things. First was that the Legend of Zelda is going to have new controls.
I heard about this.
They're going to change them up a little bit. Where in the E3 build, even though they had kind of Wii-centric controls, obviously with the Wiimote, now sword slashes are going to be even more manual. Whereas before, you could still press a button and it would still automate a slash. Now you're going to be doing all the slashing yourself in the Wii version.
Just by swinging the control around. Peter Molyneux had something to say about that, and it was kind of negative.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think since he's gone, now he's allied with Microsoft directly, I think he's gotten a little more biased. Because he used to be just singing praises for Nintendo.
I wouldn't say biased, I would just say he's a, besides being a visionary that he is, and, always falling short with the games he releases... But he usually has something confident to say, and he's not putting it off. He's just saying that at the time he doesn't find it like he needs to use the technology because he finds that the Wii and its motion sensor technology is like unnecessary. Like I believe I'm quoting him a little bit like correctly here or incorrectly. He's saying that he has no urge to swing a controller around for like over half an hour because fatigue will like set in.
Right. But he didn't get the memo that you don't actually swing it; you just flick it, right? Like he didn't. I guess he didn't receive that note from anyone
until the game Project Hammer is finished. I'm pretty sure he's gonna be swinging pretty good a lot.
I am signed up for that review. I am so psyched for that game, dude! Huge android robots and a giant hammer. I am in.
Robots, hammers. Now we just need chicks with tootin' guns.
Exactly. Like I am that target demographic. Like it,
yes,
that
you
is
are.
Me. Anyway, getting back to Nintendo Dream though, so Legend of Zelda is gonna have new controls. But one other interesting thing that he mentioned was that GameCube games that might have not done so hot, maybe lesser franchises like some of the Mario Sports games, they're gonna be quote unquote redone. Maybe be given a facelift with Wii controls.
Oh, God.
Which is,
Wave Race is coming out, I guarantee it.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually shocked that it's not a launch title. It usually is, isn't it?
Wave Race was wasn't a launch title for the 64.
It came out
a few months later.
Yeah, and then Wave Race was I think, released shortly after.
It was a launch title. Yeah, Wave Race, I think, Blue was a launch title for the GameCube.
Yeah, but nothing yet on the Wii front. I think it's because, who developed that one? NST?
Yeah,
I think because they're busy on something else at the moment. Oh, right, Project Hammer. they're busy with big freaking robots. So
robots and over muscular men.
Exactly,
overly muscular.
So I guess that's why we haven't seen a new Wave Race or another 1080 yet. So take that.
Yeah, 1080 wasn't that good. I mean, when you get down to it, I think it was way more complicated than it should have.
Well, yeah.
Remember on the 64. How you had to like rotate the controller six times, and then you had like to press the Z button,
and then the
R trigger, and press A just to do a 1080.
Yeah, ridiculous.
That was unnecessary.
And then I remember Shigeru Miyamoto had to go to them and be like, "Listen, you need to use the Z button," and that's why when you press the Z button, they pull in their legs a little.
Yeah,
but
that game definitely, I think, should be remade. That would be a good Wii title, actually.
Just,
a 1080 Wii.
You just throw the control up in the air and then catch it, and that's an awesome trick.
Yeah, just throw it and flip it in the air. Just hope you don't drop it.
Exactly, because then not only do you bail out, your remote is busted.
Exactly. You're out. Out $20.
Exactly. But it said... So they're talking about, maybe games that weren't so hot on the GameCube getting their second shot, which I guess I'm for that because maybe with the new controls they'd be in better shape.
Yeah, what was that game that they promoted, the one where you ran around with the flashlight? That gives me a great idea, a remake of Luigi's Mansion.
I was gonna say Luigi's Mansion.
That would make a great like Wii title, as a matter of fact. You know, for flashlights or to suck the ghost in with the vacuum.
Right. I remember
the Poltergeist Buster.
There was a rumor
machine.
That Katsuya Iguchi, or one of someone who works with Katsuya Iguchi, is rumored to be working on a new Luigi's Mansion game. Like, well, I'm not sure.
Ooh.
I'm not sure because EAD is such a huge studio. I mean, they're doing Zelda. They did New Super Mario Brothers. They're working on like 1,000 different things at once. So it's possible that they could be working on Twilight Princess, Mario Galaxy, and all these different things. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But what ended up happening was it actually became a self-fulfilling prophecy because earlier this week, was of course the Leipzig Games Convention in Germany.
The Leipzig, yeah, Germany.
In Germany, and Nintendo showed off the first two games that are going to receive this treatment. The first one is Battalion Wars, now called Battalion Wars 2, or BWII, BWII. No lie, that's
just gotta get that promotion.
That's how they're doing it. And the second one is Mario Strikers, which you guys will remember as the somewhat lukewarm soccer game from.
I thought that game was amazing. It's perfect. It's like the perfect game for like you know bringing your friends over and just you know. Duking it
out. You know,
out.
Like, when I played it like on the demo, back when I used to do the GameStop in column, I played it at GameStop, and I fell in love with it, like, right away. I called it Smash Brothers on a soccer field, which I considered...
It feels like that,
which
yeah.
I consider very high praise, but... And then I ended up playing the full version later on, and I just wasn't that impressed. I don't know, it just didn't do it for
me. I found it to be a really fun game. I mean, if you... sit there and think it's a game to play for like you know hours on end just single player then yeah you're going to be disappointed just like I was disappointed with Mario Tennis Power Smash for the GameCube
right
did I say the title right yeah
it's something like that but yeah so it's I don't know but with the new control scheme you know obviously updated graphics it might be all right because they showed off some footage of it and it looked better. I'm not gonna say much better, like amazing, because I obviously haven't played it yet, and you know the footage I've seen is pretty limited. But Battalion Wars 2 looks really great, like a lot better than Battalion Wars did. The graphics are noticeably sharper. Smoke and Fire looks, you know, and I know I'm gonna get some flack for this from the anti-Wiis. It looks next gen, though the fire does, like the fire and the smoke. Like it looks to me on par with. What we've seen in other next gen titles, but of course, you know, whatever. I'm a Nintendo fanboy, of course, I'm gonna say that. But yeah, and of course, both of these titles online, so that's gonna be great. Finally, we're gonna see Mario Sports go online and Battalion Wars, which didn't even have multiplayer in game on the GameCube version, is now gonna be online with like 16 player multi. So, I am all for that.
Down with that.
But so for the most part, you know, Nintendo's Leipzig thing, they did all right. I think they could have dropped a little bomb, maybe be like, oh, this is when we're gonna launch it, or this is how much it's gonna be. But
I think they'll say that for the Tokyo Game Show.
Well, you know, they're not going. They're not going this year.
Really?
Yeah. They.
Wow, that's the first.
Iwata was the keynote speaker last year, but this year it's Ken Kutaragi from Sony.
Oh, you know, he's gonna be like, you know. We're saying when the next generation starts and all that stuff.
Of course. And Iwata or Nintendo, they're both eschewing the Tokyo Game Show. However, there is this little rumor flying around, and I don't have I can't cite my source, but I can say with a certain degree of certainty, if you will, that this event will happen. It's going to be in mid-September at the Nintendo World Store in New York. I always forget how to pronounce his last name. I used to pronounce it Phil Zame, but then I actually heard him say it, and I think it's like Fizayima or something.
I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Fizayim, I think. I think it's Fizayim, but in any case,
yeah,
he's going to be there. And, you know, whenever Reggie speaks, a crowd will
something
appear.
Something big happens.
A crowd will appear. So I'm confident that this little event in New York is going to be maybe not the big one, but there's going to be something. There's going to be something there.
Maybe he's going to announce that Nintendo's going to return to Space World. Who knows? That would be nice.
That would be awesome, but I just don't...
Because they haven't had a Space World for, like, 6 years.
Been, I think the last one was in 2002, so, like, yeah, 4 years ago, like, around that.
About 4 years ago then, yeah.
And
they just stopped going, and it's an event they created themselves.
Yeah, it's in Japan, it's known as Shoshinkai, but then they... Now they just do little tiny events. They just do little mini Space Worlds in Japan. And now, but they're bringing it to America though, because now there are these things called Wii parties. There are the
Wii parties.
Yeah, I know. It's,
I love that name. Yeah. You know, I don't know why, but the Wii is just so catchy now. Yeah.
So they're going to like major cities to have these little parties where, if you have any sort of connections, you will get an invitation to go to one of these parties and play the Wii. In like the first one is in a couple weeks, I think.
Yeah, what city did they announce that?
I know they're coming to Miami, so I'm gonna be there.
Oh, you got an invite?
Well, I haven't gotten it confirmed yet, but you know, due to my connections at Planet GameCube, like we'll be able to get in. It's no problem.
Yeah, I'm up in Philadelphia. I'm probably gonna just go to the Fusion Tour.
Yeah.
That Nintendo hosts. But then again, I'm gonna have to tolerate a bunch of emo, and I don't think I can stomach that.
Well, you can always just go for the games.
Yeah, that's basically all I would go for. You know, go there, play for games for an hour, then I'd have to roll out.
Right. But I...
Because I don't think I can stand, you know, taking back Sunday or anything
else.
Oh,
yeah,
like
I know. There's a guy who works at PGC who... his name's Mike Sklens, who's a big fan of those kind of bands. And last year we had him go to the Nintendo Fusion Tour on a press ticket. And he interviewed Fall Out Boy. And he's actually a big fan of Fall Out Boy. And so, like, he we put the interview up on site.
I just want to weep for his soul.
We put the interview up on site. You can read it, planetgamecube.com, and they talk about Nintendo and whatever. It's, I don't care. Like, I don't have anything against them as people. I just don't like their music.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, in other Leipzig news, Microsoft was there as well, so...
Yeah, they dropped the big bomb there.
Yeah, so to speak.
Yeah. Coming out saying, hey, guess what? We got next-gen console exclusivity for FIFA 07 and Pro Evolution Soccer, which is actually called Winning 11, I think, in Japan. Or is it the other way around?
Pro Evo is, I think, not related to Winning 11. I think they're two separate franchises.
It is, actually. Yeah, it is. It's just they changed the name when they bring it stateside,
right.
I think.
But I think they're combined now. I think they brought them together. Like
that's a possibility, I guess. But either way, it's a superior game, I think, to FIFA.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I absolutely agree. But I think that it's a lot more important in Europe than it is in the States or even in Japan because, you know, soccer...
FIFA World Cup is... You know, the biggest event in the world,
yeah,
besides the Olympics.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although us Americans don't seem to give a crap.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know,
shame for shame.
You know, soccer or football, I guess, is the world sport. So, you know, announcing exclusivity for the world sport, I would assume in Europe, is probably a big deal.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the bomb that Microsoft dropped was the fact... Well, actually, EA and Konami dropped it, saying that, no, Microsoft did not have exclusivity.
Exactly.
Which kind of, you know, I guess makes Microsoft look like a big fool for coming out and saying that.
Yeah, true. But I was listening to the 1UP show about, I think it was actually this morning, and they were talking about this exclusivity with Pro Evo, and they were saying that by the time that the game actually comes out, the exclusivity contract might just be up. And then so,
yeah, because they said that the PS3 and the Wii version would come out within the time, 12 months time frame.
Exactly. So you never know. It could be a Resident Evil 4 situation where it comes out, then 6 months later you see a new version on other consoles. You never know. Also, and I'm just going to drop this in here suddenly. I don't think I even told you about it, Hubs, but at PAX this year... There was a special announcement.
Penny Arcade.
Penny Arcade Exposition. There was a little announcement. Do you know what it was?
No, actually, I didn't hear any news coming from there. What was it?
Penny Arcade. They're going to release a game.
Oh, are they?
For real.
Is it the same game that Jack Thompson wanted people to make?
No. This is going to be like a full-fledged like Sam & Max kind of thing.
Oh, that is so sweet. I love Sam & Max on the PC, and I can't wait for the... I'm actually probably going to subscribe to GameTap just to get the episodic material for XMMX 2.
Yeah, exactly. And the people behind it actually have some experience with they have, like the people who were developing it have actually made good games. So I'm
now this game is going to be Penny Arcade based with like Penny Arcade characters.
Yeah.
Oh, that is going to be wicked.
So Cardboard Tomb Samurai, you know, the fruit fucker, it's going to be sweet.
I hate that thing. They actually just made a comeback in a recent episode.
Yeah, they
Or a recent comic.
Yeah, they're doing their little what's it called? Armageddon.
Take on Dead Rising.
Yeah. And
Armageddon.
Every single Penny Arcade character is in this story arc if you haven't noticed.
Yeah, including the guys that, you know, are from another webcomic. I forget what they're called, but they're like Mac guys. I forget their names already.
Oh, the Chuck and you mean Apple Geeks.
Yeah.
The
Apple Geeks.
Yeah, I noticed them. And then Chuck, who's the Penny Arcade Apple guy. And and then I think there was Zombie Tycho even. And Jim, who I think he's the most obscure of the bunch because he was only in one comic and not even directly. He was only mentioned.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But that's going to be interesting. Maybe it might, you know, re-kickstart the adventure game genre. We haven't had one of those. I mean, the last adventure game to come out was... What was that one that was that you that my friend played Indigo
Prophecy?
The Prophet Lost Prophecy.
Indigo Prophecy.
Huh? The Prophecies, yeah.
Indigo Prophecy, yeah.
For
it
the
was,
PC. From what I hear it's a boar fest.
Indigo Prophecy?
Yeah, it like
my brother played. He said he was really
asleep
great.
Or something. Oh, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, well, that's what he
said.
Then
I might have to check it out. I must have been thinking of another adventure game then, but
yeah, it's possible. I'm trying to think in any case, yeah, but you know,
yeah.
It's we'll have to wait and see on that one, but because they haven't really divulged so many details. It's mostly like this is happening. These are the people who are developing it. Some of the same people who made Hulk Ultimate Destruction are actually on this one.
Yeah.
So
got some good talent on their side.
Exactly.
Then.
So it might actually turn out great, which I'm obviously happy for because I'm a huge PA fan. But So with that out of the way, let's take a quick break, and we will be back shortly. All right, and we're back. This is the last portion of the show, and just as last week, you learned a little bit about me, or last podcast. I'm pretty sure
maybe
it was about
a little
2 weeks
too
ago.
Much.
Maybe a little too much. You got too far inside, man.
Yeah.
Too far inside. But now we're gonna learn a little bit about the other side of gaming vision. We're gonna learn a little bit about Robert Hubbs.
Woohoo!
All right, it's your turn to shine.
Yeah.
All right. So first off, just talk a little bit about what got you into game reviewing.
Game reviewing. I guess I've always been interested in it. Like the first time I ever got into video games, I had a Nintendo Power magazine that my mom subscribed to me for my birthday back when my dad was in the military and I lived in Germany. I think it was around 91. Yeah, 92 is when we moved back there, and they subscribed it to me. And their reviews back then, believe it or not, was rather different. They actually didn't, like, review the game. They just had two guys, and they would tell you what they thought of the game and whether it was a rental, buy, or not. And it was real poorly done, and I always thought I could do better. So, and, of course, over the years, it changed, and then... down the line, I read some other magazines, like I started reading Ultra Game Fan, Ultra Game Players, and then Game Fan Magazine. And
right.
I
Game Fan was awesome.
Oh, it was. If it's the only game I can think of that magazine that bashed Final Fantasy VIII and gave it the score it deserved, because that game is atrocious.
There is such a split in the Final Fantasy community.
Oh, yeah.
Final Fantasy VIII.
Over Final Fantasy
it's like,
VIII.
And it's so weird because the same people who hate 8 usually loved 9.
Oh, yeah. I like 9, though. 9 was a good game. It was like a return to the roots.
Exactly. And then the people who hated 9 loved 8.
Yeah. And I just don't understand it. But anyway, I liked Game Fan Magazine because they always told you what was on their mind. like whether it was, I remember the Lunar 2 Eternal Blue review where they pretty much bashed the game. Like, they had a 2-page review on it, and they bashed the game for its poor, like, localization and bad humor jokes that they threw in, like, the references to Bill Clinton and all that. And
Wasn't it Working Designs who did that?
Yeah, Working Designs back then, RIP, you know. Good company. I mean, they had a good sense of humor, but it's just, you know, the localization, you know, they kind of, like, needed to, like, tone it down a bit. I have to agree with them on that part back then.
Yeah.
But I loved GameFan because they were just so critical about how they reviewed something. They told you how it was, and I liked that. I admired it. And the other magazine I liked was Game Players, and then they later changed the name to Ultra Game Players, and then they became something else and died out in, like, 98, 2000.
Right.
But that magazine I liked a lot because, one, they really knew how to communicate to their readers. Like, it was set up the same way as, let's say, GamePro is, but they had a little bit more humor, and it was rich, and it was very good.
Cool.
And I've always been trying, I struggled and always been trying to figure out how to, like, incorporate humor into my reviews, so I try and dig into my collection to find an old Ultra Game Players magazine so I can, like, you know, learn a little. And see if it can help me out. But then later,
cool.
Around the, like, 95, like, when I moved back to the States, I got Game Informer magazine's first one. I believe the first issue I got, and I still have it. And, in fact, because it's been sitting in the sun for so long and the color has faded on the cover, it's the one with the Mario 64 review. I believe that was issue 32.
Nice.
Yeah. And, I just found this to be great. I found it to be a great magazine, mainly because, one, it was not just one review and then, like, you know, another guy saying how it was. Well, of course, that's how it is now with Game Informer.
Yeah, I think back in those days they had three reviewers, didn't they? And they just kind of averaged the scores.
They averaged
together.
Out what they had. It was kind of like the way EGM had it. Only EGM didn't, like, you know, give you an average score. They just gave you a score from what everybody said. They never, like,
right.
They just said, you know what, this game gets a gold because it's got an 8 or above or whatever. But no, Game Informer, average it out. And sometimes I've yet to find really any games that they were, like, you know, split on because they all seem to have been very level-headed and stuff.
I'm trying to think if there were any.
I can't remember. Really, there probably are, but I can't seem to remember any right now.
The most that you ever see is, like, a 2-point difference.
Yeah, about a 2-point difference, and I remember back in the day, they had some great reviewers. They had a lot of good humor in there, too. I remember when Andy McNamara... Did I pronounce his name right?
Probably.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I only heard his name pronounced once, and that was a while ago on the G4 episode of Icons. Or, not Icons, Cinematech. When he was talking about his favorite games of all time. And I remember him, Reiner, and there was this other guy, Paul, someone they called the game Hombre.
Probably, was it what, oh, wait, was it Paul Anderson?
Yeah.
He's the circulation manager now. He's G.I. Paul on the forums.
Oh, okay, that's good to know. At least he's still in the company.
He's on the business side now.
Yeah, in Game Informer, like, you know, from 95 to now, they've gone through, like, so many members of the staff, but Andy and Reiner remained, and it's truly inspired me. And then once they finally got there, and then around 2001, I started my own website called Gaming Vision, which is what it is now, but back then I actually tried with a bunch of friends to create a website that would make reviews and previews and, like, news and stuff like that. We tried to set it up. I had a domain name, gamingvision.com, at the time. I did the entire web layout, and I wrote some pretty good reviews, I would say, at the time. I mean, besides, like, small grammar issues.
Right.
And that only lasted about 6 months because my friends didn't seem to be really into it. I mean, my one friend, Zach, he would review his Game Boy Advance games with the sound off, and that really never helped.
It's like, well, I would tell you how the audio is, but I honestly haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he reviewed Castlevania Harmony of Dissonance, and he couldn't comment on the sound because he says he always has the sound off, so it didn't work. So after 6 months, it just canned it. So it because it didn't work out. And then
Right.
at the time in 2001, Game Informer did not have a website. They just had this thing that said, "Hey, subscribe to our magazine," and they had a little link to how you can do it. And then like 2003, they finally relaunched their website. And then I saw a review section. I started reading everybody's reviews. I'm like, wow, you know what? I'm going to get in on this. And then I believe I wrote my first review, which was. Do you remember? I think it was Mars Matrix for the Dreamcast that I reviewed. I think it was the smallest review I did.
I think you might have wrote that one before I joined the forums, because I joined in March of 04, so
Yeah, you definitely missed.
I probably would have missed it.
Yeah, I think I started right. I joined in like end of August, at the of 03, and then I think I wrote my first review around October, November, and
It's kind of
I've written quite
tasty.
a few from review there. I think I've written a total of like 14 reviews. I did a review on Gungrave. I did one review of
Yeah, I
Mars
think I actually remember
Matrix,
that one
Sonic Events,
on Overdose, right? Gungrave
No, I
Overdose.
did it on the anime series,
Ah, okay.
which is, by the way, truly great. Everyone should check it out. I mean, it's not directly based on the game, which actually is. It's based on a manga, believe it or not. I just found this out. But yeah, I did. I think I did the ones I think I did the best on was, which I'm probably gonna review someday. Is I did the Gungrave anime review. I did Doom 3, which I actually got review of the week for, and I was real proud of that.
Yeah, that I remember actually. That was pretty cool.
And then I remember that my reviews from Doom 3 just kept getting bigger and a lot better too. And of course, they
Yeah.
didn't still get the attention that, you know, I was hoping I would get. You know, I didn't get any
You know,
criticism or a whole lot.
it's weird. At the GI forums, it's like if you're not part of like
A click
the
or
in
whatever,
crowd, yeah, you
you're
don't
not
get
gonna,
that much attention.
yeah, unless like one or two people like that are big and well known, like Halbrid comment, like if Halbrid comments on my review, then you
Yeah,
know I'm gonna have
then you
like
get some
20
people.
replies to that, and usually it goes off topic and it really drives me up a wall.
Yeah, I mean, I was lucky enough that, you know, for a short while, you know, people thought I was a good reviewer.
Yeah.
But whatever. They say I don't really post much there anymore. I'm more of a lurker. I really just read
I'm a
other
lurker too,
posts.
but I just mostly post. I actually comment more in the classic game section, but then
Yeah.
I'm getting really tired of seeing like everybody making a new Dreamcast thread. It's like, oh, in fact, I think my favorite one right now is the some guy who's claimed to have had a Dreamcast for 9 years when the sucker hasn't even come out, when the sucker came out in
Yeah.
like 98 in Japan. I'm like, how is that physically possible?
He had a debug unit way back in the day.
Oh yeah, I must have. He must be thinking of the M2 that was canceled.
Maybe. Who
Yeah.
knows? But in any case, but yeah, then you ended up joining sometime later,
Yeah, I
and
joined
it.
Nintendo Insanity, which you actually helped me get the job there, and then I met Sonny Suba,
Right.
who
Well, I mean, I remember we needed someone who had a DS, because
well,
I didn't have one at the time,
yeah, I
and you
just
had
got a
one.
DS and I did my review. Actually, I wrote the review of Mario DS first before I joined Insanity. Then I just
Right.
submitted it to them with a little alteration in there.
Right. I think the first game that you reviewed officially for us was, correct me if I'm wrong, Puyo Pop?
Puyo Pop
Or was
Fever,
it?
yeah. That
Yeah.
was. I'm still thinking that it's an addicting game, and I'm wondering when the sequel's coming out. They said they have a sequel coming out, but,
It's probably gonna come out eventually.
yeah, and if Sega's not gonna bring it over, you know their good buddies at Atlus will bring it over.
Oh yeah,
Atlus
Atlus.
brings over everything.
Yeah, too bad they only bring it over in like five copies.
Yeah, definitely. And I was there for a while, and at Insanity, and then I started writing a couple. I wrote a couple reviews for
Game XE, right?
Quasidodo at Game XC for the Xboxes, and I wrote a Dead or Alive review and another Doom 3 review for the console, and I
Cool,
enjoyed doing
cool.
that. But then, like somewhere, like you know, during the summertime, I get this really, really bad writer's block. Like my brain just shuts down because it's summertime. You
Yeah.
know, school's like my brain's like, hey, school's out. You don't need to work me anymore, buddy. Go out and just lounge
Have
around
fun.
and have fun.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm kind of the same way, where I think, like, oh, awesome, it's summer, now I get to unleash the magic. And then it you just kind of you get up and you're like, yeah, I could write, but I could also not.
Exactly. Well, anyway, after my stint of at in Insanity, I left in like late June, and then around
August, I think it was.
I left in August. Well, you probably, yeah, you would know because I think I told you.
Yeah, but I mean, like, no, I mean, in August, that's when we started up Gaming Vision.
Yeah, in Gaming Vision, yeah, I relaunched it, but this time I decided to take it in a different direction. I decided to do it as a website for, like, you know, you and me, and maybe in the future I'll probably, like, add a couple other people where we can practice the art of journalism. And in case you haven't noticed, journalism on our website is misspelled, because as kind of an inner joke, I mean... Ken Chan from Acclaim was the first one to notice that, and I didn't
notice it. And at first I was like, "Oh God, Hubs misspelled it. Oh God." And then he told me that it was a joke, and I'm like, "Okay, but can we change it anyway, just so that people don't think we're retarded?"
Well, we're not gonna think we're retarded because look, I put editorial and then dash ism, like editorialism. Like, come on, like it's a freaking religion or something.
I hope so, man.
But I'll go ahead and when I post my next Lost Gems, which I actually have a lot of fun doing, because
yeah, that's like that's one of your big things, and that actually that leads into one of my other questions about you was like, because you do Lost Gems a lot, like that's basically like your standby series, kind of like
up next. My next will be number 6, and I actually started this back in November, and I'm now doing it like every other month or every two months. I'm doing this, and
like,
It's
kind of like how my Sin and Redemption is kind of like my signature series.
Yeah,
like,
and I've like actually, actually been wanting to do something like a Sin and Redemption, or not Sin and a Lost Gems, and then I could try and see if I can get a hold of like the old directors of one of these games and see what he thought.
Dude,
that would be
really cool.
I want to try and do that actually because it would be a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway,
I'm gonna
keep my Lost Gem 6 a secret for now because I'm gonna post it like end of next week. I said I was gonna do it end of last week, well, end of this week, which is today. But I'm gonna do it end of next week because I've been a little busy. I was, you know, my parents been away for 2 weeks, and I was cleaning the house and doing stuff, you know, surprising myself. But yeah, you know, gotta love to the parents, but
of course. But so you do all these Lost Gems. Like, what attracts you to classic gaming?
Well, I believe, you know, the original idea of Lost Gems was to make people aware of stuff that they weren't aware of, like staples in games that, like, you know, set standards for others, but people don't seem to realize it. Like, I originally wanted to not just do games. I wanted to do, like, hardware and other stuff. Like, I wanted to do a Lost Gems on the Amiga, but that was just, you know, way too big of a topic and subject for me to do. I mean, the Amiga, if most people don't realize this, is another computer done by Commodore back in the late 80s to... mid-90s, it was a computer that people actually did programming on. In fact, some of our video games for the Sega Genesis was done on the Amiga. Like the original form of Shadow of the Beast 1 and 2, the Killing Game Show, stuff like that. And a good one. The the first few seasons of Babylon 5, the TV series, all CGI was done on an Amiga.
Sweet.
And... unfortunately for the for Commodore, the Amiga, you know, Amiga's side went bankrupt and then was resurrected temporarily. And it's like, you know, somewhat distributed in just Europe only as like a small computer for like personal use. And that's pretty much all that's going on now. But you can do like Amiga emulation. There's this program you can buy. It's called the UAE. And it allows you to do emulation and you can download like old Amiga games, and one of my favorites, by the way, is It Came from the Desert. It's like a B-side movie. It's done by Cineware, and in fact, they'll let you download it for free off their website. There's a PC version, an Amiga version. There was one for the Sega Genesis, although it's completely different. You just run around, you shoot ants. So anyway, that's what I like doing about the Lost Gems is I want people to be aware of these gems, these things that they missed in the past. The games I've done, like Lost Star Tropics, it's probably the biggest cult following besides Earthbound from Nintendo, and I really want a third one, and since the Virtual Console is coming out, and this is a must for them to like put and make available for download, because Star Tropics 1 and 2 are great games.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll see it. Yeah.
And if the fans out there speak loud, they'll definitely say Nintendo can't really ignore them. They should probably work on a third one, hopefully. Like Kid Icarus, there's like a giant upcry now for them. I mean, why would you put Pit in Smash Bros. Brawl if you didn't know that there was a huge following for the game?
Well, I'll tell you what, I've heard whispers.
Yeah, I heard whispers too. Like, Dead Phoenix or whatever it was called that was being developed by Capcom was supposedly the secret Kid Icarus project or whatever. And then that got canceled. I believe that was,
Yeah,
what, 2 years
something
ago
like
they
that.
mentioned this?
I think it got canceled like 18 months ago, something like that. So like late 2004, I think.
Yeah.
In any case, but I got two more questions for you.
All right.
First up is, where do you see yourself as a writer in 5 years?
In 5 years, I just see myself, continuing to casually write, because I'm 25 years old and I'm probably going to go back to school just to get into web design and network administration. And it is, of course, if I'm actually trying to pursue a career as a butcher, which, doesn't seem right for a guy who likes video games and computers and stuff like that. But it's a career. I'm a guy who's very hands-on, and if I do network administration, I mean, I have to. I'll tell you this straight up right now. I have a learning disorder. I have ADD, and I have Asperger syndrome. By the way, if you don't know what that last one is, just Google it, and you'll learn quite a bit. It's a social disorder, and it kind of also, counteracts my ADD. ADD makes it a little hard for me to study, which is why I haven't gone to school for about 2 years.
Right.
I dropped out. Anyway,
So yeah,
in about
so in
five
five
years, I'll
years.
continue to write. I mean, I love writing about video games. In fact, I think I might start writing reviews again for the GI forums, even if nobody pays attention to it.
I'll comment.
That's yay.
Yay.
All right, and
And I'll get Halber to comment too, because then that'll bring people in droves.
woohoo, spam. All right.
All right. But and then my last question for you is, I'm sure you see just as I do a lot of upstart people who want to get into reviewing but don't really know, what to do.
Yeah.
What would be your one piece of advice to those kind of people?
What, for people to who want to get into the journalism and reviewing and
Yeah.
interviews? Well, look for inspiration first off, and work hard at writing. Like, just write anything for the sake of writing, because you really, if you have the desire to write and you have the desire to just pursue a career in writing, nothing should stop you. And you should definitely, well, I definitely should emphasize on creating your own style, because I mean,
Yeah.
while it is good to copy off of somebody else's style, you need to create your own style, make you as you. And
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
should definitely you sh you should you'll definitely eventually be recognized for writing some great pieces of work. Like, you, Carl, have you're great at writing, and you have a great definite style. Halbert has a great definite style. In fact, he has humor in his, which I wish I had.
Yeah, Zach's got a quick wit. He's
He's
pretty
act
smart.
yeah he's very good. And in fact, I consider myself a decent writer, grammar problems aside, because I'm
I'd
very.
say you're a little better than decent.
Oh, well, thank you, but thanks. That means a lot, actually. But actually, this is kind of a tough question to answer, But I guess, look for inspiration. Hope, continue to write. The more you write, the better you become. And look for inspiration, because I mean, Game Players was a great one. I mean, heck, I mean, go on eBay, see if you can find a couple issues. I mean, these guys, I mean, they didn't write a whole lot on their reviews, but still, it was good to read. And Game Fan, go on eBay, get a couple issues of that as well,
Exactly.
because like, that's my
Yep.
inspiration to you right there. My what I preach
Your
right I'm preaching
advice.
to you. My advice,
Exactly.
yeah. Just inspiration, continue to write. Yeah, I'm repeating myself now.
Absolutely. But that brings our show to a close.
Yep, no wacky
This is of
questions
course.
for me, I guess.
Oh, well, I had a couple, but I decided,
You decided against it, yeah.
I'll spare you
You'll spare me.
from my twisted analysis.
All
But so that brings us to a close. This has been Carl Castaneda and
This
Robert
is Fight
Hubbs.
Club Hubs.
Fight Club, exactly.
Yeah.
You listen to the voice of the vision, and have a good night, everybody.
Have a good night.